of God. As I often say to those who attend our fellowship in Bismarck, I always say, listen, if you want to hear from God, read your Bible. Amen? Yeah. And if you want to hear from Him audibly, read your Bible out loud. Amen?
Amen.
It is. That's how we hear from God. Not until the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus Christ descends will we hear another word from God. Not until. We have it here wrapped up in our fingers tonight, brothers and sisters. Aren't you thankful tonight that God was so merciful and gracious to us that down through the annals of time, He would be so gracious to us and preserve the Word of God for us tonight. Amen?
Amen.
It is an amazing thing. In fact, Brother Jordan touched on it just a little bit. Once, not too long ago, I had a lady in our church ask me, hey, have you ever read the Gospel of Thomas? And I looked at her and I said, why would I want to? Amen? I mean, I'm preaching right now, verse by verse, through the Gospel of Mark in our church. And I can tell you confidently, as I have been preaching and studying and laboring in this Gospel, that I will spend 5 lifetimes, and so will you, just trying to get a hold of the depths of what God has canonized here within the Gospel of Mark. Why am I going to waste my time, brothers and sisters, looking and reading something that's not even in Scripture? I mean, it's an amazing thing to me. It really, really is. It baffles my mind, brothers and sisters, as even Brother Chris and Brother Jordan were saying tonight. It baffles my mind that God has given us the Scripture, and yet people continually, nonstop, say to themselves and say to others, I'm looking for a new word. I'm looking for a fresh word. I'm looking for a new experience. Man, it's just stunning to me that we have this precious jewel, these 66 books within this canon, and yet people in their flesh continually look outside of that for this new word. It is just, to me, an amazing thing, brothers and sisters. We see in Holy Writ, and I will refer to the Scriptures on many occasions tonight as Holy Writ, the power and prominence of the Holy Spirit of God. From its opening pages to the very last pages that we're going to look at tonight, brothers and sisters. Look with me there in Genesis chapter 1. I want to see this because, again, we, as Jordan has said, you know, we are accused of not believing in the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Look at Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see this. Look at verse number one, the Bible says, in the beginning God created heaven, the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Do you see that there? From the opening page of the Scriptures, the Spirit of God appears. Now turn with me, if you would, there to the last book in Scripture. Look at Revelation chapter 22. I wish I had some time to expound here on this particular verse that we're going to read. But I want you to notice something that's unique. It's very unique in the sense of the direction of the invitation. You know, you look through Scriptures and we see in Genesis chapter 6, we see God's invitation to Noah to come on the ark. We see in Isaiah, the beginning there, Isaiah chapter 1, God invites His people to come. Let us reason together. Even though your sin be scarlet, I'll make you white as snow. He reasons with them. He invites them to come. We see an invitation over and over of God inviting sinners to come. And here tonight in Revelation chapter 22, look there, if you would. Look at the direction. Look at verse number 16. Revelation 22, look at verse number 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the what? The Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, you see the direction there. We see the Spirit of God and the church of God asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come quickly. Again, I said throughout most of the Scriptures, all of the Scriptures, you see God inviting the sinner. Here's the church, the great hope that we are, brothers and sisters, tonight that we're hoping this coming of Christ, His second advent to come for that which He has made pure and holy and without wrinkle and without spot. Amen. But we see here, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit of God in the opening chapter, the opening verses of Scripture, right here to the very end. And to say that we as Christians, those of us who are, biblically informed with the Holy Spirit of God, that we don't believe in the Spirit. Listen, let me give you some numbers, some statistics. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 88 times in the Old Testament. He, the personal pronoun, and again, Brother Jordan laid that out for us. He is a person. He's not some force, something that we're, like he said, like Luke Skywalker. He is a person. And we see this in Scripture over and over and over again. The personal pronoun referring to the Holy Spirit, because he is a person, is spoken in 23, listen, of the 39 Old Testament books. It's an amazing thing. The expression Holy Spirit is used three times in the Old Testament. He, again, the personal pronoun referring to the Holy Spirit of God, is mentioned 264 times in the New Testament. He is referred to over 60 times in the Gospel and 57 times in the book of Acts. I would say, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit of God permeates the Scriptures, wouldn't you? Amen. From one end to the other, from the very beginning to the very end, we see the Spirit of God working and doing God's work, His bidding, calling sinners, as Jordan said tonight in John chapter 16, convicting the world of sin, calling sinners to repent, calling them to come. Amen. It is an amazing thing. We live in an amazing time. I am convinced in my heart of hearts. I am convinced in my heart of hearts, brothers and sisters, as we see this nonsense continue, that we are witnessing one of the steepest and greatest downgrades that we've ever seen in church history in America. I can promise you, we are witnessing and seeing that, just like in Bismarck where I live. I'll tell you what, you get your Bible out, you open the Bible, and you preach a sermon out of the Scriptures, and your church basically empties out almost, amen? These mega churches, these big churches, giving people what they want, amen? In fact, Paul Washer, you know what he said about that, right? You know what Paul Washer said? He said, this is God's judgment on them. Amen? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it wonderful that, hey, when they tell you, hey, God wants you to have a new car, and you say to yourself, I want a new car. Hey, God wants you to have streets of gold. I want to have streets of gold. They're giving them exactly what their flesh wants. Amen. Not what the Spirit of God is dividing and giving to them. Yep. Amen?
Yeah.
Wow. It's stunning what you walk into a, well, I call our bookstore, quote unquote Bible bookstore in Bismarck, the Baal bookstore. The Baal bookstore. You walk in there, you know what you find in the front? Brothers and sisters, you don't find this. You don't find the Bible out front. You know what you find? Huh? Every self-help book you can think of. Huh? Every psychology book you can think of. That's what you find. And then when you say, excuse me, do you have Bibles here? Yeah, they're back there. Right there in the little corner. I think there's three or four of them back there. Amen. This is a disgusting stench in the nostrils of God. That His Word, listen, we have more access to it. It's stunning. Think of this, brothers and sisters. Think of it. We have more access to the Bible than any culture's ever had. And we are the most ignorant and, can I say it, stupid people when it comes to understanding the Word of God. It is stunning to me. It really, really is. Let me show you the seriousness of this tonight. Turn with me in your Bibles. Well, you're already there. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 18. You do know what caused the sin problem we have. You remember in the garden, don't you? Amen. You know what God, or what Eve and Adam did. They disobeyed God. And, well, of course, the serpent sneaks up there and he says, yea, hath God really said? The first thing he does is question the authority of Scripture. That's the first thing he does. And then Eve, all confused and confounded, she first adds to and then takes away. Amen. Brothers, we must be careful. We must not add to. We must not take away. We must look at Scripture and say, what does God say? Yeah. Look here at Revelation 22. Look what it says. Verse 18, it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall what? Add unto these things. Amen. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from these words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And people say, well, yeah, that's, hey, he's talking about the book of Revelation. No, he's not. Turn with me in the book of Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy. Turn with me there. I love to hear this sound, don't you guys? I love to hear Bible pages turning. Amen? I love that sound like a fan. It's kind of flipping through there. Oh, unless you, well, these guys got electronics here. These young guys carry the electronic stuff around. Amen? Here we see Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. I spoke of Adam, and you remember when God was speaking with him in the garden, he said, I put you here. You need to tend it, and then you need to keep it. Amen? That's very important. Adam did not keep what God entrusted him to do. Amen? Yeah. The snake slithered up, tricked a little emotional Eve. She disobeyed God and her husband fell for it. Amen? But that word keep there means to put about as with thorns. It means to keep guard on. Amen? Adam didn't do that. Look at here at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let me show you this here real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at verse Look at verse number 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I will teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto. Amen? That means that what I'm going to tell you and what I'm going to have Moses write, do not dare ever flurry or touch it. Amen? Do not add to it. Look what he says there. Do not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. That ye may, what? You see that word? Keep. It's the same word that's used. He's telling the nation of Israel, I'm going to give you my word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. But what you must do is keep my word. Amen? That means to guard it. That means to put it as about with of thorns and thistles to protect, to guide, and direct. It's an amazing thing. The sufficiency of Scripture, brothers and sisters, in the evangelical community is a doctrine that has been flushed, as Archie Bunker would say, right down the toilet. What I mean by that, you ask people, do you believe in the authority of Scripture? Oh, yes! Oh, yes, we believe in the authority of Scripture. Do you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture? Oh, yes, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Do you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture? No, we don't. Why? Because people are moving away from preaching the gospel. People are moving away from the power. People are moving away from that which draws people to God, which points them to God, and that's the gospel. Yeah. That's the law and the gospel working together, brothers and sisters. Instead, we, as I told our congregation not too long ago, some of the craziest things that these mega churches are doing, have you watched some of this stuff? I mean, there was a pastor recently that put a crib up on the stage. Now, you think I'm making this up. I am not making this up. Amen? Because we've got to make the church palatable for the unbeliever, right? We've got to somehow trick them, right? So he puts on a diaper. I am not making this up. Puts a binky in his pie hole and sits up on the stage and talks about babes in Christ. It's an amazing, disgusting stench in the nostril of God's nose. Some man who's been allegedly given and called to the pulpit acting like a moron. Amen? Yeah. I mean, it is the most crazy thing. Listen, Brother Tom Pennington said this. The term cessationism is from the theologian because it's a negative label. It pictures what we don't believe. The real problem with the label cessationism is not that it is a negative, but that it has characterized us as believing that the Holy Spirit of God has essentially stopped his work. And as a result of that, we are unfairly accused of putting the Spirit in a box. Anybody ever said that to you? I mean, that's an amazing thing. People say that to me, I just laugh. God put it in a box. The canon, the Scripture, God put it in there. Amen? It's there within the canon of Scripture. We are fairly accused of putting the Spirit in a box, even of embracing a biblical and outdated worldview. But those are distortions. In fact, we believe that the Holy Spirit has not only continued his work, amen? He is displaying through us by the power of the resurrected Christ. Nothing eternal, listen, happens in an individual believer or in a local church apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nothing does. Now listen, if you're doing right now, listen, A.W. Tozer once said, if Most churches, he died in 1961. Think about this. He said this. He said, if the churches today stopped doing what they were doing, believing the Holy Spirit was doing it, business would go on just as it always has. He says, the first century church, when the Holy Spirit quit doing his work in that church, everybody would know. Because the Holy Spirit, the work would stop. Amen? Because it was the Holy Spirit doing the work. Not getting couches on the stage and playing these, blowing sparks out your keister and out your earlobe and everything else that you can think of. Listen, being a cessationist does not mean, as our critics presented, that God no longer does anything miraculous. Listen, every time a spiritually dead sinner, amen, is regenerated, that is a miraculous working of God. That is the Holy Spirit doing his work. That's the greatest miracle that can take place, brothers and sisters. Listen, gold fillings in your teeth are nothing compared to the Holy Spirit of God penetrating your heart, calling you to the cross, drawing you, calling you, granting you repentance, amen, and belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing greater, a greater miracle than that. Amen? It's amazing. Every time someone is healed solely in answer to the prayers of God's people, in total contradiction to that the medical community has said, it is a divine miracle. The Holy Spirit has intervened. Yeah. Amen? Cessationism does not, Tom continues, cessationism does not mean that the Spirit cannot, if he so chooses to do so, give a miraculous ability to someone today. God can do whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases. Amen? I mean, we must believe that. And if he were to choose to do so, he could allow someone today to speak a language that they've never studied. Brother Chris just talked about that, right? Here's the caveat, brothers and sisters. It's just this, that it wouldn't be the same as the New Testament gift, because it wouldn't be revelation from God as theirs was. Do you understand that? That's what God did. He allowed these men miraculously to speak these languages that Brother Chris talked about. Amen? To preach the gospel to those in that language who'd never heard of it. There is reasons and purposes for what God does. And the Holy Spirit obviously can do that. I cannot express tonight. And we have seen from Brother Chris and from Brother Jordan how important it is that you and I have a proper biblical understanding and reverence for the seriousness of our endeavor tonight. Amen. Can I give you a little English language, a little English test tonight? Amen. Listen, the word revere is a verb. It means to regard with fear, mingled with respect and affection. Amen. We should revere God. We should revere the Holy Scriptures that he has given us. Reverence is a noun. It means to venerate, to honor, to awe, to deference, to homage. Let me show you this in the Scriptures tonight. Look at Psalms chapter 33. Look at Psalm chapter 33 with me tonight. When I preach, you don't get to put your Bibles down, okay? You got to keep those phones going. You got to keep them lit up, amen? Got to keep your Bibles right there with you. Look at Psalms chapter 33. Look at verse number 8. This idea, brothers and sisters, that we must recoup this flippant, stinking, nonchalant attitude that people have about who God is has got to stop. We must, as Bible-believing Christians, those of us who claim to be Christians, brothers and sisters, we must draw and grab and get a hold of this idea of revering and fearing God. Look at verse number 8. Look at Psalm 33. Look at verse number 8. Let all the earth, what? Fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Let everyone who hears of God and reads God's word, let us all stand in fear and awe. Let us do as the Bible says is going to happen this one great and wonderful day when, hey, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, right? That's what's going to happen. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, this is where it's at. Awe and fear of who God is and what his word is. When that goes away, you will get away with some of this devilish, and I mean demonic, trash that's being presented as the Holy Spirit of God. It's an amazing thing for me to see that. Blaspheming and mocking the Holy Spirit of God has become, listen, the main menu. Can I say that again? It's become the main menu of most churches on most of their plates today. Mocking and insulting the Spirit of God. Let me show you. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Look at Matthew chapter 12. I wonder what time, Chris, I got to be done. Hey, we'll let the Spirit of God lead. Amen. We're going to let Him lead us. And when we're done, we're done. Amen.
Amen.
That's how it'll go. Brother George's out there going. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 12. I want you to pay careful attention to the words. Hey, when God wrote the scriptures, when He inspired them, and now He has preserved them down through the time, He didn't put them in there just for us to stare at, just for us to wander past. They are in there for a specific reason. This scripture, this canon we have, is just a most amazing thing. Look at Matthew 12. Look at verse number 30. Matthew 12, verse number 30. Again, pay careful attention to the words the Lord uses. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and what? Blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be what? Forgiven unto men. And now listen, look at verse 32. He's talking blasphemy there in verse number 31, verse 32. And whosoever, what's that next word? Speaketh a what? A word. See, blasphemy and speaking a word are parallel. They are together. So what that means is that when they are speaking these words, they are blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. They are parallel together. You can't separate the two in Scripture. Amen? Look what it says there. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. What is Jesus saying? What is He saying to us there? You know, I better be careful here. I'm starting to sweat. I'm going to look like old T.D. Jakes. I'm going to need one of these towels. Anybody got a towel? I can wash my head off there, right? And tell some more stories. It's an amazing thing. Jesus is saying, you can blaspheme me and be forgiven. But when you mock and insult the Holy Spirit of God, you are coming dangerously close to the unpardonable sin. Amen? You are looking right down, brothers and sisters, into the abyss of hell itself. And He is warning us tonight. And He's warned them that we better be very, 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 very careful how we speak about the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? He's warning us very, very clearly. We ask ourselves tonight, how do these churches do it? Well, John MacArthur, I'm sure many of you are familiar with him. He said there's three reasons how we know that these churches are doing this. First of all, by attributing to the Holy Spirit words that He did not say. Can I say that again? First of all, by attributing to the Holy Spirit words He did not say. How can I demonstrate that to you? You familiar with who Oral Roberts was, who now is in the pit of hell itself? Do you remember who he was? He had a man who brought his wife to one of his healing services. He allegedly healed her, sent them away. 6 months went by. He says, "Send me a little more seed money. God will heal your wife completely." Well, the man replied to the letter, and he said, "Mr. Oral Roberts, my wife died 3 months ago." Hey, he's attributing words to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit did not say. Not on your life did the Holy Spirit say something so stupid and ignorant like that. Not on your life did He do that. It's an amazing thing. It really is. Secondly, by attributing deeds to the Holy Spirit that they did not do, that He did not do. First, words He didn't say. Second of all, deeds He did not do. Listen, I got to read this because you can't make this up. I mean, I don't normally like to read too many things, but I'm going to read this to you. On January 1st, 1990. Now, this takes us back a little ways, amen? It takes us back there a little bit. On January 1st, 1990, Benny Hinton said, "The Spirit tells me," this is important, brothers and sisters, listen, it's not like he said, "Well, I'm thinking, I have gas, I think this." No, he is attributing this to God. He's attributing this to the Spirit. Look at what he says. Benny Hinn said, the spirit tells me that Fidel Castro will die in the 1990s. Anybody see Fidel Castro die in the 1990s? Fidel Castro never died in the 1990s. The Lord also tells me to tell you. Hey, the Lord tells him to tell you. Amen. That in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community in America. Excuse me, Jordan and I were out at the Shepherd's Conference when that court he just talked about, who's going to have the gavel slammed down on them for what they did, I believe the White House was lit up in rainbow colors, wasn't it? When we were out there, brother, I remember that. Right out there. Lighten that. I don't think God destroyed the homosexual community in America in the 1990s. Do you? Lying devil. Lying dog. That's what he is. Now listen to this. On October 19th, 9 years later, Benny Hinn still he's still preaching today. You know that, right? People are still funneling that devil money. They're still giving him stuff. It's stunning. It's amazing to me. He says in 1999, but here's the first, what I see for TBN. I know what I see for TBN. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching this network. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching TBN. I'm telling you, listen, I see it in the spirit. Again, it's not him saying, oh, it's my thoughts. It's him saying, God told me this. The Spirit of God told me this. Look at people around the world who will lose their loved ones will say to the undertakers, not yet. So when the undertaker comes, not yet. You're not taking my dead one yet. What an amazing, stupid thing. It's an amazing thing. I see rows of caskets lining up in front of the TV set. And as people are coming closer, I see actual loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen. And people are getting raised as their hands touch the screen. It's insanity, brothers and sisters. It's sheer devilish. In fact, Paul said, didn't he? You remember when the little sorcerer was following him around? Amen. Do you remember what he called him? Huh? You know, people think we're vicious and mean with our language. I got news for you. You ever heard Spurgeon talk about the Pope? You ever heard Paul talk about a demonic spirit following him around? You ever hear that? He goes, oh, thou child of the devil, full of subtlety, always perverting the word of God. This is what they do. Pervert the word of God. We must, brothers and sisters, retain and take back the authority of Scripture. Not only the authority, but the sufficiency of it. Amen. Put away your psychological books. Put away all your nonsense, brothers and sisters. Cleave again to the word. Thirdly, tonight, Brother Jordan, what time do I need to be finished? I'm getting close. Thirdly, they do it, John MacArthur said, by attributing experiences to the Holy Spirit, which he did not produce. Amen? Words he did not say. Amen? Deeds he did not do. And thirdly tonight, amen, it's an amazing thing. Experiences he did not produce. Our favorite mystic, John Crowder. Amen? Anybody who know who John Crowder is? Oh, you remember this guy. If you don't know who he is, let me just give you a little flavor of his sermons. I shouldn't do this, brothers, because it might, you know, please plug your ears if you're going to be, let's see, we don't want the spirit to be dampened tonight. This is a guy that goes, oink, 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 oink. Have you heard that? Oink, oink, oink. Yeah, he sits around and oink, oink like a pig. Arr, he says, arr. And then he has something called, and I don't hardly, can't hardly say this, because it's such a blasphemous thing, toking the Holy Ghost. Heard about toking the Holy Ghost? How about snorting the Bible? Literally in some of his videos, you know, this clown and his group, you know, they're pulling the Bible up and they're snorting it like cocaine. Drug-infested devils. Passing it off as the Spirit of God. Listen to this. Whacked, sloshed, slippity-slap, fat friar, bartender angels. It's an amazing thing. Come, come, Rodney Brown. You know how he opens up, Brother Jordan said. He opens up his service. Hey, hey, the bar's now open. The holy bartender's here. I'm ready to give you, amen. What a drunken stupor. These people are attributing these things. Listen, they are attributing experiences that God did not produce. That is insulting and mocking and blaspheming the Spirit of God. That's what it is. In fact, John Crowder, of course, as we know, Brother Jordan, I think, mentioned it when he was busy saying Lord, I love your heavy drunken glory. Went into his story about how he bilocated from Georgia to Ireland. Amen. Pastors, don't you wish that we could bilocate? Man, if you could bilocate, just think of all the sermons you could preach all at one time. I mean, the guy's the devil. And you know what, brothers? You look and you see that place is packed full. There are people clamoring, raising their hands. Oh, yes. As he's mocking the Spirit of God. It is a stunning thing. We are, brothers and sisters, listen again, in the deepest downgrade, the steepest downgrade in American church history. There is no doubt about it. There is none. You look around. Visions, revelations, dreams, voices from heaven, holy barking, holy drunkenness, holy puking. MacArthur says, all false, all lies, all deceptions attributed falsely to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, brothers, being a cessationist does not mean, as our critics present it, that God no longer does anything miraculous. Amen? You can say amen. We say that. Brother Chris, I didn't pay that guy. That's just my natural response. When somebody says biblical truth, it's so nice to come to a place, isn't it? And know that when Pastor Chris gets up, Pastor Jordan gets up, you can sit in your chair. You don't have to be on edge. What are they going to say? What am I going to have to try and contradict? Oh, it's nice to rest, isn't it? It's nice to rest easy. It really is. The Holy Spirit of God, as Jordan has said, draws us to salvation, secures us in the faith, and empowers us to live for God. Listen, let me close. He is there present in the incarnation. He is, as Jordan said, he is our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our vicar of Christ. The Pope's not your vicar, brothers and sisters. I don't care what these heretics say. He is not your vicar. The Holy Spirit of God is your vicar. Amen. He takes the Christ's place, as Jordan said. You don't go kiss some toe, lick some finger somewhere. The vicar of Christ, or he is the vicar. He convicts the world of sin. He glorifies Christ. He baptizes, as Chris said, he baptizes believers into the body and gives them the gifts as he sees fit. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Amen. He seals the Christian for redemption. Amen. I mean, this is an amazing thing. All the power, all the work that the Spirit of God actually does when you stay within the canon. You don't need to go outside of it. It's all here. It's here right here to teach you, to teach me that this is what saith the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Not what Rodney Brown said. Hey, how about Creflo Dollar? There's one. I told you I was going to go after a couple of them. Creflo Dollar. He denies that the Lord Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God. You know that, don't you? You know what he does? He takes them to the book of Psalms and says, see, right here, see, Jesus went to the front of the boat and he slept in the boat. See, he can't be God because here in the Psalms it says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. What a devil to teach these people. And then he moves on to his favorite scheme, which is given himself to teach you, brothers and sisters, how to give a seed gift to the church. It's a classic. He takes if I had one, I'd do it. He takes a $10,000 check out of this pocket, opens it up, snaps it in front of everybody, folds it, puts it back in his other pocket, says, see how easy that was? All you got to do is just give God a seed gift. He'll bless you 30, 6. I mean, you know how they misuse that passage? It's a stunning thing. He denies Christ. He denies that the Gnostics did. He's a Gnostic devil. That's what he is. Denying Christ come in the flesh. He's Antichrist, actually. And here they sit, listening to that devil. He's got a $67 million airplane. He's got to fly to all these churches that are full of people sitting there sopping it up. I mean, it's just stunning. That is the curse of God, the judgment of God upon those people. There is no question about it. A true believer who has the Holy Spirit living in them would never listen. I understand. God can save people in some pretty, maybe some unbiblical circumstances at times. Not having a clear picture of Scripture totally. Amen? He can save them there, but you know what he won't do? He won't leave them there. Because the Spirit of God will come to life. And the Spirit of God will go, that don't sound right. Was that a word? That doesn't sound right. What does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? That's not right. I need to move on. Amen. I need to find, as George, a good Bible-believing, preaching church that's going to preach sin, preach the law, preach repentance, preach all of those things. Amen?
Yeah.
That men will come to Christ. He regenerates the lost sinner. And then I've got to finish this up. He is sovereign God, listen, working out his perfect plan. Amen? You remember in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, that story of Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? You remember that, don't you? Yeah, the Bible says that they lied. You know, you lied unto the Holy Ghost, you lied unto God. God, that's God. The Holy Spirit is God working out his sovereign plan. Brothers, if there's a couple things tonight as I close that I could leave you with, is this. Charles Spurgeon said, listen, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. Can I say that again? Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. Because normally, when it's really super wrong, amen, you know it's wrong. If you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you know it's wrong. Here, this is what he said. Discernment is knowing the difference between right and almost right. Right and almost right. That is true biblical discernment, brothers and sisters. Amen? It is an amazing thing. Our call tonight, at least God's word to us tonight, our call from God's word, is to test all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Listen, I tell these charismatics, right? These people that want you to read the Gospel of Thomas and all these other ridiculous things instead of Scripture. Just go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, begin in verse 11. There's 20 imperatives that Paul gives to the church. You will spend the next 25 years looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 20, trying just to grasp what he is saying with those imperatives. You don't need the Gospel of Thomas. You don't need any signs. You don't need any wonders. You need the Word of God. Yeah. Amen? Oh, man, it's just amazing. We are to test the spirits. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says to test the spirits. We must tonight, brothers and sisters, recover the great doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture and the fear and awe of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for